Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Episode 24, No Fooling, with Morgan and Ben.
Well, I started the show. I didn't tell you I was going to, but I did it anyway.
That's nice.
Episode 24, Ben.
I enjoyed that, episode 24.
I say that maybe next week can be, because episode 25 is like, I mean, it's not a round number, but you know, it's a significant number.
It's gold.
Our imaginary brands. Gold?
Yeah.
Let's call that a season. Let's call that season one.
Season one, S01E25.
Exactly.
Cool.
Sounds and good. Away we go. It was a 25 episode season, which actually had 28 releases, I think.
Does that mean we can have a cliffhanger?
Cliffhanger, that'd be exciting. Which one of us survives? Hint.
Gunshot rings out.
Me. Oh, gunshots. I should have got gunshots ready. I've got so many gunshots.
For next week.
We've got a guest. What's your name, Tom? We didn't actually figure out how we were going to introduce you. We've got Tom on because, this is why I think he's on. Ben's got a different reason for having him on. I think he's on because he happened to be on the show during the call-in show. What was that, episode 21? Digital campfire?
Yep.
And liked him.
He acquitted himself well.
Yeah, I liked him. And so I thought, hey, let's get that guy back on because he was fun.
Yeah, so Tom.
Parsley72.
Parsley72.
On Twitter.
Man of embedded hardware and China traveler.
Right. And that embedded hardware and China traveling stuff is why Ben probably wants him to be here. But, you know, that's like, you know, fact stuff. And I just like the one-liners.
I don't just travel to China.
Where else do you travel?
An Asian travel thing.
Oh, okay. Right. Where else in Asia do you go regularly?
Fukushima?
Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, possibly Korea next time. I don't know.
So you guys get stuff made all over the place?
No, we get stuff made. So we don't have our own factory. We have contract manufacturers in, to get this right, Malaysia, Thailand and China. And then we ship to manufacturers who are all over the place. Really.
Okay. I just think Foxconn when I think of stuff made in China.
I'm going to be very patient, listeners. Let's just let them have a go at this. Eh? No, carry on.
We should really carry on with the show. So we've introduced Tom. It's cool. What's happened with you this week, Morgan?
Oh, I went to the dentist. Groundbreaking news.
I went to the dentist last week.
I went to the dentist last week as well. I just got a clean and a checkup. I was worried that a rough spot was a cavity, but it wasn't. It was like a chip or something, a tiny chip.
Okay.
Like from the end of a fork or something.
So did he just
polished it.
Right.
And he was like, oh, everything's good, but those fillings look a bit older. I had like old amalgam fillings, probably from primary school.
Yeah, me too.
I think certainly from my teens. And so this week I went back and he numbed me up and then drilled them out and replaced them with nice, handsome, tooth-coloured, I didn't even know what they're made of, polymer
things. I love the technology, yeah. I just really love it.
So good.
UV cured so that you can chew on them straight away.
So the hot assistant shoved a UV lamp. I felt like it was like a kitchen mixer because the handle looks a lot like that, stuck
it
in my
like
mouth.
It sounds like a fan as well, doesn't it? Yeah. It's got a big fan noise. Well, not a big, it's got a fan noise that echoes around your head a bit.
It was really good fun. Actually, I don't know, because I haven't had a filling in a long time, I don't know if it's normal now for there to be like zero pain or discomfort at any point. Or if my dentist is really skillful.
I've had two or three in the last probably 4 years. Mm. And they were the first ones I'd had since I was a child. And when I was a child, I was sure there was no anesthetic. They just went in there, didn't they?
No, I remember there was anesthetic. There were needles that they stuck in your gum.
Right.
I don't think it was very nice, though. I remember it not being really nice.
Yeah.
If anything, the cleaning was actually less comfortable than the drilling out of metal. Mm. I mean, because this is probably normal. You can tell me if you had the same experience. Oh, did you go to Simon Street Dental Centre?
No.
No, okay. Well, so it's not coincidentally the same place. I wish I had his name to hand. I thought he was really good. He put some kind of numbing compound on the surface first.
Oh, really?
Before doing the injections.
Ah.
And so then when the injection happened, it felt like he was just kind of resting something on my teeth. But actually, he was stuffing things into my cheeks and gums, like needles into my cheeks and gums. But there was just no real sensation. It was just like, you know, pressure on my teeth. And it was
Werner at Albert Street, Proudmouth.
Yeah.
He's got a really cool technique where he says, I'm just going to pull on your cheek. And he gives you a quick yank, but he puts the needle
in.
Yeah, yank on the side of your face. But that's when he's injecting, so you don't feel the prick.
Right.
Let's just we'll just pause there.
I was just going to say
you had that little adult content warning at the beginning. You didn't actually warn the people that were going to talk about dentists, because it doesn't bother me. My grandfather was a dentist, but some people are going to be totally freaked out by point.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. I mean, I remember my the dental nurse. Do dental nurses even exist anymore? The dental nurse at my primary school. I remember being able to see like. It was like cable operated. You could see like a string running along the length of the thing, and then through like various kind of angle changes on hinges. And you could, so, I mean, these drills were not high speed. These things now, though, they're so fast that they are, you don't feel any vibration. And it's so high pitched that, I mean, clearly, of course, you hear it, but it's almost
ultrasonic, isn't it?
It's very impressive. There was none of that cheek pulling stuff. I think my dentist is better than yours, because he used another anesthetic so that you didn't know about the second anesthetic.
But I have to say, I didn't feel anything even with that. So it must be
you didn't feel it when he gave you the prick.
When he pulled your cheek. Feel a thing.
No. Were you under a general when he put his prick in your mouth? Is that
no?
The cheek that he was pulling was that. Is it normal practice there to be in stirrups wearing a lava at your dentist? Sexual abuse. It's so funny. Yes, I'm joking about Ben being raped by a professional. Someone he should be able to trust.
Rape jokes aren't funny.
You know who you can't really trust? Actually, this is the wrong segue. Politicians, generally.
Why can't...
Why can't you trust politicians? Well, you should be able to.
I know, this pisses me off.
Yes, pisses me off as well.
Why can't they just be humans and just come out and say, I fucked up, sorry, I won't do it again?
Well, we're talking about Darren Hughes. So he has a big problem with coming out and saying things, because he says he's not gay.
Does he?
He says he's not gay.
The guy is closeted.
I think it's really sad. I wonder why he feels the need to deny it.
Yeah. I guess we could never know.
Because he's clearly gay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he is.
Because he's sexually attracted to men, and he's demonstrated that by making sexual come-ons to men.
He could be bisexual.
So he could be bi, but...
Does that mean he's correct in saying I'm not gay, technically?
That would be the weakest.
Would be. Yeah, but there was an English politician a few years back called Michael Portillo who did roughly the same thing. He was basically... he was married with kids, and he was sort of outed as having some gay sexual experiences at university. And he said, "Oh, I'm not gay. I was just experimenting."
Right, I buy that.
But I mean, it's the same.
He was experimenting with drugs, probably. Rohypnol.
He didn't swallow.
I'm not a crack addict. I just like to smoke, you know, random things, not tobacco. Sometimes cocks. Cock smoker. People understand the term cock smoker. I mean, because I didn't want that joke to be, you know, go over people's heads.
I think you've just thrashed the joke. I think everyone knows. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, what is it about politicians and secret toilet sex?
That guy
with
in the
gay
States
prostitutes.
The wide stance man was my favorite.
he's tapping his foot.
He's tapping his foot under the stall. I wasn't. I just have an unusually wide stance.
And I mean, I can appreciate that.
But it's not. I mean, it's almost a joke. You know, the reference to the American politician who was anti-gay and then was caught having sex in a toilet. There's like 10 of them.
Yeah.
It seems to be. Yeah, it does seem to be. The particularly viciously anti-gay ones seem to be the most deviant as well.
Yeah.
It's quite.
It is a damn tragedy. I think it's about, you know, being self-hating.
Mm.
It's a terrible damn shame. You know what else is a damn shame?
What?
So this show is being released on March the 31st, and the next day is April the 1st.
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. So we're not going to do anything for that. And I suggest that people just, I don't know, don't do April Fool's jokes. It's done. It's played out.
Unless they're big. Like I was thinking about resigning on April Fool's Day and seeing what happened.
They've got a cake already in a cupboard, just waiting for that day. Bottles of champagne.
You think
finally, Ben's getting the fuck out of my goddamn office. Yay.
Yeah, I was just kidding. Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
How am I going to pay the mortgage?
I made a Windows Phone 7 app. What a terrible mistake. Should have been iPhone.
As we speak, updating my Windows Phone 7 via Hungary.
Via Hungary?
Yeah.
Why would you do it via Hungary?
Desperation.
Hungary for change.
What?
Desperation. The Windows Phone 7 update process is done. They're doing it in sort of a rolling process, releasing updates to different areas of the world to try and avoid problems.
Yeah.
Overloading and also... So I guess what they're saying is if the phones in Hungary go all fucked, then they're fine.
Yeah.
But if the ones in the rest of the world do, then it's bad. So they're releasing it to, I guess, low populations first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So New Zealand should be on the top of the list.
Should be.
Come on, this is Windows Phone 7. There's no high population.
I suppose they're thinking, in Hungary, if it all goes horribly wrong and there's lots of media articles in Hungary, nobody in the English-speaking world will be able to understand them.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Whereas if it all went tits up in New Zealand, somebody in America might notice.
But the short answer is, if you're a desperate Windows Phone 7 nerd, you can unbrand your phone with some registry hacks and then connect via a VPN to Hungary, and it will update.
It's so intuitive, Ben.
It's almost so good you, as Android.
You are going to talk some smack about Android, are you? Even on the back of that.
Oh, there's some good smack out of Android this week. You know how Google makes a big deal of Android being open.
Yes. Do they? Yes. Okay.
They say, well, I mean, a lot of open source nerds also say Android's good because it's open.
Yep.
So Android, Google just announced that they're not going to release the source of Android 3.0 until they're ready.
What's the problem with that?
Well, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything technically wrong with it. I think their licensing allows them to do it. So it's not GPL where they would be required to.
But you said until they're ready.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're not going to release it.
No, they will one day. But the thing, just in the spirit of it, If you've gone and helped them out by contributing your code to their open source project, and they're just saying, no, fuck it, it's ours.
Do they accept contributions to core?
I think they've got a pretty patchy record of doing it. I imagine they accept bug fixes and that sort of stuff. But But I'm not sure.
Right.
I think that it just proves more that they're air quotes open when they feel like it.
Right.
But it's actually a closed system.
Right.
Yeah.
But the comment I read, possibly on Slashdot, I can't remember, was that it's actually not that different from what Microsoft do. Because Microsoft would release the source for, say, Windows CE or Windows Mobile and things like that. You couldn't change it, but they'd release it for you.
Mm.
Well, Android's actually not that different now.
I think someone was saying there's more GPL code in iPhone than there is in Android because it's based on FreeBSD.
Okay.
Yeah.
FreeBSD doesn't use GPL.
I may be talking out of my ass.
FreeBSD uses...
BSD license,
yeah.
Berkeley, is it? Well, maybe they're saying there's more open source code on iPhone than there is on Android. I don't know.
Right. I find it very hard to give much of a shit about that. So they don't want to release the source code to Android until they're ready to release it. Mm. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Not when you actually release it as an open source project and, you know, use all the cachet that comes with.
Now this is a bullshit beat up. The only thing that's important to me is that there's a checkbox on the phone that says use code, allow code from unsigned repositories or whatever. It means I can put whatever the hell I want on there.
Yeah.
I can root the phone, it's open.
I mean someone can send you an email saying here's an important link and that will then install a malware onto your phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I look forward to the day that happens. I predict
never. And the cool thing
is
that it's not just trendy people like you that want to do that.
Yeah.
You know how Amazon's got a new Android app store?
Yeah, I heard about that, but I also heard that you couldn't use it if you're outside the US, so I haven't actually really looked at it.
No, but if you want to use it inside the US, you have to tick that box.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, that seems like a shame. I would have thought that they could probably come to some sort of agreement with Google to get a key and to sign their code.
Why would Google do that?
Well, don't they want to fix the app problem? I mean, the App Store is the only real problem, I think, remaining with the Android experience.
What's in Android for Google?
Probably mobile advertising.
Mm.
User information, maybe.
So if Amazon has a store that works well...
Preventing Apple from becoming bigger is probably what's in it for Google.
Google Search is the default in Apple, and Google Maps is the default in Apple.
It's a shame. Wouldn't it be brilliant if iPhone defaulted to Bing?
There was talk of that, wasn't
there? Duck,
go. Ask Jeeves. Alta Vista. Lycos.
Yahoo.
But no, if Amazon does the App Store right and doesn't have malware and has decent, decent quality, then developers can make money by selling apps like they do on the iPhone, and so they won't put ads in their apps.
Have any Android developers made money out of it yet? There must be some who are making a killing,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah,
because, sure, I mean, when I look through the lists of apps, I see lots of them which have certainly sold like over 250,000 and so on.
Crossovers. I mean, Angry Birds makes money off, lots of money off Android.
Right.
Through advertising.
Right. Yeah, well, the Angry Birds I've got is the advertising one. I guess could I pay for it and not have ads?
I don't even know if you can you?
I'm not sure. Can you do it? But it doesn't matter because I'm not really that excited about Angry Birds. As games go, it's very unsophisticated. I don't really find it very enjoyable. I think that casual gamers who haven't experienced, you know, properly good games, even properly good sort of puzzle and physics games like Half-Life 2 and so on.
I mean, I think isn't that the majority of
I just compared Angry Birds with Half-Life. That's right. That's right. I went there, bitches.
Well, I think it's the general success of app sales points to how, well, you know, there are Miniclip and other flash gaming sites that are incredibly popular.
Yep.
And that's how some people spend all that. That's what some people see as games. It's all
I
time.
Was talking to a friend of mine. I won't name him because I haven't confirmed that he, you know, whether he'd be happy for this to be out or not. Like some old flash game that he made years ago is still making him $3,000 a month.
That's horrendous, isn't it?
Right. So just about enough to live just on, ads. Ads on a flash game. Hosted by, you know, served by one of those flash game sites, one of those casual game sites. He built it years ago. And it's still, you know, pumping out the pinger.
But hasn't Call of Duty made $1 billion?
Probably has, but also, how much did it cost to make?
Lots.
Lots. Huge teams of developers, huge teams of artists and actors and, you know, sound producers and, you know, all of those many, many people that go into one of these big modern games, which is why I think something like Minecraft is so exciting, where, you know, one dude built the basic code. He's since employed, like, a couple of other coders, but they're still a tiny team, and by selling it.
I haven't played it.
I've bought it.
Is it good?
It's dangerous, dangerously addictive.
It's a very powerful game. In fact, I read a piece, the guy who originally wrote it, who's...
Moot.
If I can remember his name.
Really?
No, not Moot.
I was going to say.
God damn it.
No, it's...
Guy's name.
Anyway,
I'm going to start it so that I can see his friggin' name.
It's Java.
Oh, God.
Yep.
I read a piece quite recently. He did a special version of this game for a competition where the idea of the competition was to come up with a game that was like a religion. And so he's made a special version of Minecraft where you get to play it for, I think it's something like 12 hours. And then
it's until you die, right?
No, you play it for 12 hours.
Oh, they've time limited
and
now?
And then you can't play it again.
Sorry, guys, I can't not play. You guys can finish the finish the game on your own accounts.
Yeah. We can hear this.
It's my livestock.
What the hell?
They're actually not my livestock. This is my castle that I've built. This is great. This radio.
Yeah,
large
castle. Really good.
What are you doing?
He's running around a castle.
Well, this is my castle. I'll show you the bonk. I'll show you the downstairs. I've got art.
I'll show you the downstairs.
I like these glass blocks rather a lot. This is that's a creeper in that painting.
What do you do?
You mine, and then you can use those blocks to build things. So what you start. You just spawn. In this case, I just spawned on the beach with bare hands, with no possessions. And what you do is you just, you know, you start gathering resources and you figure out recipes and you start to build everything. I mean, everything in the game you have to build from raw components. So, you know, you all of this glass here, it was very easy to get that. All you got to do is find some coal and collect sand from the beach.
Right.
Build a foundry. Melt the sand, turn it into glass.
It is complete madness.
Chinese
workers to do it for you.
Yeah, like the equivalent of gold farmers. Build me a castle and then give me the login.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be no fun at all. And sometimes this game actually isn't fun because it's just, you know, you realize you've just been digging around underground and all you've got to show for it is 4 hours of your life gone and chests full of rocks. Not real chests. Not real rocks.
Virtual chests full of virtual rocks.
But geez, it can be a great deal of fun.
Well, I was saying, this guy, he built a special version which you can only play for something like 8 hours. Mm. And he put it on a USB stick, so there's only one copy. And the idea is you play it for 8 hours, and then you don't get to play it again. So you pass the USB stick on to somebody else, and then they get to play it for 8 hours. So the idea is that whatever you've done in the game, they can then build on or destroy or whatever. And this was supposed to be similar to a religion, because this idea that it builds on whatever people have done before it.
Yeah, and it probably like Chinese whispers for whatever people would.
I'm just doing this to affect the brains of our listeners. The listeners who have actually played the game will be like,
he's having fun. Now, the ironic thing was, though, that this guy, he built this game and he, this special version of the game, and put it on the USB stick and then gave it to a friend of his. The idea being that it would then sort of get passed around, almost like a meme. And the friend promptly sold it online for a charity.
Right.
For the chance of to be the next person to play this game.
Yeah.
And so, it almost like a religion, it went straight from being a nice little idea to
a money spinner.
To a money spinning thing.
with quote, charitable connotations.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right, so it's perfect. Now all they have to do is for the next possessor to rape some children. Maybe burn a woman for being a nurse or a herbalist. That'd be great. Maybe they could stone a gay to death. That'd be the obvious next step, wouldn't it?
Sacrifice a goat.
They'll make you give up all your worldly possessions and kill yourself.
I can't see it happening over a video game.
Probably not.
What, you mean 30 people?
Oh, people have been killed over video games, so of course.
Yeah. 30 people gather around in a room watching them play and then they all drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, wouldn't that be brilliant? I bet they'd do that in Korea. You know, the right game of StarCraft. Oh my God, that's the best game I've ever seen. Life is no longer worth living. Are you sure about all the details of the story as you told it? Because what I heard was that you can play until you die, and you can't play again.
No, you can only play.
All the stuff about the USB key was true, or was the same in my story as well.
I thought there was
and
a time limit.
I understood that he gave it away at the conference where they were looking at all of multiple games were produced for this kind of game as a religion.
Mm.
Competition, and he won very easily.
Yeah, that's.
And then he gave it to someone in the audience who possibly was one of his friends. I didn't know that person had then immediately turned around and auctioned it, but that makes some amount of sense.
It reminds me of Zay Frank's Games of Religion.
Yep.
Which is a single platform that you walk around on.
Yeah.
I can't remember the Hindu one was you fall off the edge and then you immediately reappear.
Right.
On the other edge.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And what was there were some others as well. I can't remember what they were.
Scientology. You just have to keep feeding money into it,
yeah.
And nothing happens. Like the platform doesn't change; you don't get to live for longer or anything.
Yes, I can believe it.
But your pockets are lighter. So no, I didn't really mean to jump away immediately from the Darren Hughes story, because the Darren Hughes thing actually is it's much bigger than just Darren Hughes. I mean, he's stuffed, right? I mean, all he's ever done is politics. Since he was a child, all he's ever done is politics. I think, he was a member of the Labour Party from a very young age, certainly from his teens. He was like a youth politician.
This is what in general bothers me about pretending that politicians aren't humans.
Yeah.
Because, God, if you or I had a criminal... Is it a criminal? It's not even a criminal charge yet, is it?
No, it's just an investigation.
You just carry
it's
on
It's just
working,
rumours
right?
at the moment.
You
carry it's on going
innuendo. And, if it turned into a... police interview, you might mention it to your employer and say, hey, this thing's going on, it's all fine, but they think I might be a bit, wouldn't you do it? But you wouldn't be, you have to leave work unless you had a criminal charge.
I don't know that my workplace would even know that I had an investigation.
No, and it's only when it directly affects your job, like I've lost my license.
Yeah. Or I've been
I walk to work.
Or I'm going to prison.
Right, you think that'd be a problem. Can I work remotely?
Can I get a VPN from prison? Yeah, they might.
Okay, I need you to come and visit me, and can you put this 2-degree stick somewhere that you can't be found easily?
Now, I understand that he's resigned. I'm not sure if he's only resigned whatever.
He's resigned from the caucus.
Right, but he's still in Parliament.
Yeah.
So he hasn't resigned as an MP yet. But if he does actually have to leave the House entirely, the next person, I think, on the Labour list...
Oh, God.
Tizard.
Judith
Tizard. Judith. Not necessarily a bad person.
Actor
but
Tizard.
God, she got things wrong. Mm. And she just... I don't think she even now understands how badly wrong she got them. She says...
What's the interesting thing, though? She was the Minister for Arts and... Associate Minister for Arts and Heritage, or Arts and Culture. And... Yep.
Which I think Helen Clark invented.
Artists and creators have quite a different view on actor and copyright in general. So
yeah, some of them do.
Yeah, I mean some do, but you can imagine she would be lobbying
dumb ones. Dumb ones are wrong about it. So she said, That she had unfinished business, including a valedictory speech, because I guess she got thrown out so soundly. And she also says that, quote, it would be nice to say, stick it up you.
Did she?
To those who don't want her back. Stick it up you.
Oh, good. Apparently it's also 150 grand for 8 months.
Golly.
8 months of not very much work because there'll be the World Cup in the campaign.
Yeah, I'm sure that she's not in any kind of, and I don't think she's hurting.
She's a tizard.
She's a tizard.
But the funny thing is that the if Labour wants to get Louisa Wall in, who's the person they want in,
yeah,
four people will have to say, oh, no, actually, no, I don't want to go into Parliament.
I don't want all that money.
Yeah, even though I'm on the
Thanks.
List.
Thanks. Doesn't make yeah, a Andrew mockery. Little says he doesn't want, he certainly doesn't want to. Louisa Wall is candidate for Manurewa.
Doesn't it make it a mockery of MMP if you have, if you're allowed to just sort of pick and choose from the list?
No, but only in order.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying, surprisingly, four people in a row would say, oh, no, I don't want to come in.
Yeah. Talk about towing the party line. But, I mean, I guess the thing is, if you do it, you know, what happens at the next election? Because the thing is that Louisa Wall actually is, you know, higher on the list at this election, whereas Tizard is nowhere on the list at the next election, right?
Mm.
Because, I mean, fuck her. I'm sure she's a lovely person. But she just got this so badly wrong and still doesn't apparently see it.
And she got Central Auckland wrong as well.
And she was replaced by that dimwit.
Who?
You know, the blonde.
Nikki Kay.
Yeah.
She's a national.
Yeah. How do you get defeated? How do you get defeated by, like, a first-time candidate when you're from a family with, you know, the possibly the longest history of political service in New Zealand, and you get defeated by, you know, someone who's been back in the country for, you know, a year.
You think, but Labour, if you were in Labour right now, you're a Labour leadership, you'd be basically, you've got a plan to lose the election, and
there's, what? I think there's no question that they're going to lose it, it's just how badly.
So this is the thing, is do you bring Tizard in because then you, Louisa Wall is a fresh face next time around? And tarred.
I think that she'll be high enough on the list that she'll be in regardless.
Right.
She won't be tarred. The people who are tarred is the senior leadership. Mm. The person who's tarred most filthily is Gough.
Oh, such a cop.
Because he's mishandled this whole thing so terribly. Talk about being ineffectual. And what a dickhead.
And also completely two-faced.
Has he been two-faced?
Well, who was the person? There was someone in National Charge or something, and he was saying he should be thrown out immediately.
Richard Wirth? Richard Wirth?
Yeah, again, yeah. An investigation. Oh, my gosh, you should throw him out straight away. What the hell's going on? And then what must be going through his head to then have Darren Hughes say, oh, I'm under investigation, and him say, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, integrity is the difference, right? Yeah. And actually having the courage of your convictions.
But wasn't Gough the one who sort of let the cat out of the bag when he said, I cannot confirm that this is a charges of a sexual nature or something? And everybody kind of went, my God.
Sexual nature?
Yeah, it was kind of, up until that point, it was just a police investigation, and then suddenly...
Oh, God, he might as well just Gough
reckons, and this is,
in front of the,
this is his word, he reckons that his leadership position has been strengthened by the Hughes affair. Strengthened. No, you dick. You've been ruined. And it's not Hughes that's done it to you.
It's delusional.
It's you being a dickhead.
It's strengthened in that it was possible he was going to be out after he loses election. Now he's definitely going to be out.
Oh, he was going to be out. There's no way he's not going to be out. And the only reason he hasn't already been rolled is who wants to be the leader going into this election.
That's what I was saying.
Almost any of them could do a better job than him and will probably get more members back, probably get a higher percentage than him, because just about any change would probably be for the better, I reckon. But they're fucked after the election. Because, I mean, the chances are very great that whoever took it over would have to leave after the election. Because, I mean, historically, you know, if you lose an election, you're gone. You're done, right? I think Helen Clark got away with it because she was such a, you know, skilled operator. Mm. And then look what she went on and did.
Well, she resigned as soon as they lost the election.
No, she'd previously lost an election before she won, right? Okay. Hadn't she?
I can't remember.
I think so.
Oh, don't ask me about history.
Bill English is still in the party, but of course was no longer the leader after he lost an election.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I think he's very lucky to have the position he still has. Brash, gone. Where's Brash?
Don't we find this so boring, though, listeners? It's just politics.
Is it boring?
I don't know. It's important, but God, it's boring.
The two people who would be most likely, I think, to take over the leadership now would be David Cunliffe or David Parker. They'd have to be insane. I think that if it lasts until after the election...
What about Shane Jones?
I don't know. What do you reckon?
I heard good things about him.
Yeah.
Is he too young?
Is that enough?
I don't know.
Is there such how young is he?
Let me look it up.
Is he under 32?
I think he may also be gay.
I'm in favour of it. Our first openly gay prime minister.
I was going to say outwardly gay.
Outwardly gay. And internally, he's a dinosaur.
Shane Jones, yeah. I don't think I'm actually thinking of Shane Jones.
Well, I'm thinking of Andrew Little as possibly the next Labour
Jones.
Prime Minister.
Good God. It wasn't Shane Jones. Shane Jones is the one that hired pornos.
All right. Yeah, he's not going to take
who
over
was
the
leadership. Who was the guy that... there's a guy, a youngish gay MP. God, this is going to sound terrible on the podcast. Now I sound completely uninformed.
For a change.
It's all right. I haven't been speaking much recently because I have no idea most of the people you're talking about.
That's right. So, what's in a name? This is a story that Tom's brought us. What's in a name? Why Ben is hotter than Tom. Ever thought a name sounded really off-putting? You could be right. It seems even your name can have an effect on how attractive you appear to the opposite sex. This woman did a test on a not very scientific study on hotornot.com. She's from the University of Adelaide. She took 12... pictures of 12 men and 12 women and put them on Hot or Not with different names on them. Oh. And rated who was rated as higher or tabulated who was rated as higher based on the name. I mean, you know, so the same picture with different names on it, if it has Ben on it,
yep.
More attractive
cool.
than if it has Tom.
Could have told you that.
So there you go.
Grant Robertson.
Is that a sexy name?
It's not at all Shane Jones, but it's Grant Robertson.
Right. So tell me why you're in favour of Grant Robertson.
So that's the young gay politician, isn't it?
1971. So how old is he? 40. 40.
40.
Not very young.
There you go.
So how much of a worry is it going to be when we're all older than the average first-term politician? Because I already feel a bit strange when I look at police and I think, oh, what a nice young man. Because it used to be like... Cops were, seemed like authority figures.
Yeah. Doctors.
Big, strong police. Men. And now I'm like, huh, he looks like a nerd. Who's that kid? Why did they let that kid be a police officer?
Yeah, and doctors. And you can't see doctors these days. They're, they're tiny. And
I like young. I quite like having young doctors.
Tiny. Yes, they've shrunk.
They're small.
Doctors in my day were bigger.
Well, yeah, because they were male. Now they're all female.
You like young doctors who haven't made mistakes.
I like young doctors who haven't got anachronistic methodology.
Mm. That's true.
Not saying that the old ways are always bad, but
it's when they help bring the hacksaw out.
Yeah. No, I've just got a sniffle. Yeah, we'll have it off. Wait, what do you mean have it off?
What you need is a good bleeding.
Are you threatening me? Why don't you just anesthetize me like you did with Ben? Then you could do what you wanted with my supple body.
Now the one that freaked me out, my last company, which I left. Year and a half ago now, a little over a year and a half ago, was when the general manager or the whatever the senior title of the person who came in was, and I realised he was actually 2 years younger than I was.
Right.
And it's slightly freaky to think, oh, hang on a minute, I've been doing this job for 15 years,
yeah,
and I'm, what do I say, senior engineer at that point, and then this guy's just come and run the company and he's younger than I am, and I think, fuck, maybe I did actually choose the wrong career path.
No.
But then I think that constantly. I actually quite like my job.
Well, that probably means you're competent. It probably means you're really good.
Mm.
Because, if you choose between two engineers, one's really good and one's not so good, and you need to promote one of them into management, which one do you take?
Well, that was the thing.
The one who's a really good engineer?
Yeah.
Fuck no. You take the idiot. And that's why people often fail upwards. That's why middle management is often full of dicks.
It's not even that. It was one of those guys who...
Because they were no good at other jobs.
He studied engineering at university.
Right.
And then went into his first job and didn't do any engineering.
Right.
And I've met a few people like that who went straight into project management or something like that. And it just seems... You were probably quite a poor engineer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm generalising enormously there. I've met some...
No, but also, or did a conjoint.
I actually got to
BSc, BCom or something. And, his plan was always to be management.
I did 2 years of management, and then it took me 2 years to realize it was stupidly stressful, and everything good you would hand off to someone else.
Yeah.
Either higher up, who would take the good jobs and the good sales, or to your really good engineers and developers, you would take all the exciting, cool code work and give it to them.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck that. I'd rather be a doer than a than a manager.
Management's pretty important.
It is.
And you think about all the bad managers you've had, how they can fuck up projects.
Yes.
Endlessly, you know, project after project after project.
Yeah, like the guy.
You know, it is. You are actually doing things by letting other people do their jobs.
Like the guy at Auckland Council who said, "I keep doing these projects, and I keep coming."
That's not really how he said it. What he said was, "It's normal to have blowouts. My all three projects I've been involved with have been blowouts."
What's the common denominator here? So this is Auckland City pays $56 million for an air quotes IT system.
I don't even know what that means.
What is
it? A few servers? What is it?
$56 million.
What's it do, though?
Something to do with SAP.
SAP, I think, is sort of, it's everything. It's HR and you know, AP and, you know, accounts. And so, you know, all your rates bills, all the assets of the council.
Yeah.
Well, they're not all of them, because Auckland Transport has assets.
Auckland Transport must have quite a considerable system. I bet their system cost $50 or $60 million as well.
Auckland Transport's a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
And they took the bones of what they had before, data, and some upgrades. It cost them $2.2 million.
Right. Okay, so why didn't the new super council just do the same thing?
I have no idea.
Because this guy was in charge.
I have no idea. So
was one of his previous jobs INSYS?
I don't know.
What else has he been involved
with? The money quote, there was Council Chief Executive Doug Mackay said the cost of implementing computer systems was scary, but as far as he could tell, the transition agency ran a good process. The former private sector boss said he had implemented three new computer systems in the past, and each time there'd been a serious cost blowout. I'm sorry.
He's in the wrong job, that guy. How many times have you been at a meeting with a manager and you've just thought, this guy is a dickhead? I keep telling him things and he keeps getting them wrong.
Well, to be honest, I was about to say, it's not just managers.
It's not just managers.
There's dickheads everywhere.
It's advisors.
There's been
project managers,
there's been sales guys, there's been test engineers. You know, you do meet dickheads a lot.
There is a consistent distribution of dickheads in the world.
Yeah.
And so there will be dickheads in each walk of life.
I mean, I read an interesting piece about managing geeks the other day, and it was saying that geeks very quickly organize people into two sets. There's the people who are good at their jobs, and when you give them something to do, they enhance the process. And then there are people who are bad at their jobs, and if you get involved with them, they actually slow things down or create work. And it's a very simple way of breaking people down. And I can think immediately at my company of people who I don't like interacting with, because immediately things get harder.
Because there's that saying that a really good developer is 100 times as productive as a okay developer.
Yeah.
But what they don't then add, which I've talked to many managers and other developers as well, is you do actually get a negative factor when they get bad enough.
Yeah.
You get a cost factor they introduce because you got to clean up the code, you've got to manage them. But $56 million.
It was over a year or something, was it?
We don't know what the system is. It might be reasonable, but they're not giving out the detail.
Is it reasonable?
It could be.
There's what, a couple of thousand employees, if that? I don't know.
Is it running on one of those gold iPads or something?
What if it's $500 per employee?
8,000 employees. Hang on. How many employees are the council? 8,000 staff. What's that? Got a maths calculator?
It's like $15,000 each or something.
A maths calculator as opposed to what?
Hang on, let's do this.
What did you say? $56 million.
$7,000 per staff member.
I wasn't even close. I said 15.
7,000.
I should have taken that left at Albuquerque.
But it might not. I mean, it might be. For all we know, the PC license for this system is, you know, $5,000 a pop. I mean, you do get systems like that. You know?
Yeah.
So
do we want them to be upgrading everything all at once on our dime? Right? Because they're funded by us.
Yeah, exactly.
By all the things that we do, they're funded by us, parking our cars and paying our rates and going to the pools.
This reminds me of a debate around healthcare in the States where they were spending hundreds of million dollars NHS system in the UK. Hundreds of millions of dollars. And someone made the point that what you should do is give 10 small companies $10 million each, and then pick the winner.
Yeah.
Because one of those companies will produce phenomenal software that does everything.
Maybe. But you don't know, do you?
Well, it's similar.
Because what if it's only dickhead companies?
Was it the Wellington Library? They spent God knows how many million dollars on some new system, and someone said, why don't you just use this open source version we've got?
Yeah.
And then we were kind of like, oh, well, no, we can't use the open source version. Why not? You know, it's a case of the school in on the North Shore or something that's gone completely open source.
Yeah.
It's if you actually found 10 small companies and gave them the contract and told them to do it open source and they took the best one.
Mm. Or started a project build with prizes.
Yeah.
For the, you know, the best commits. Yeah.
$56 million for the best commit.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get a lot of competitors, aren't you?
Yes.
There might be some unintended consequence.
I think the council should have taken the money and bought colour. It's about it's about the right conversion rate, isn't it?
Colour. Good old colour. So you use Windows Phone 7, so presumably you haven't actually used colour.
No, I haven't.
I've used colour. Let me tell you what it did for me. Nothing. Fucking nothing.
Did you see the review? You have to find the link. There's a review of colour,
right?
Which is this epic. It talks about it as an adventure.
Yep. And this is a review on the iTunes App Store.
Yes. Yeah. And how you find yourself in an empty room with buttons you don't know what to do, and you press the buttons and see what happens.
I think I've still got it installed.
So you have to. You've got it installed on your Android.
Yeah.
You must take a picture of your cock then, isn't that the
rule? I took a picture of a knob.
I don't understand this. So colour is. You see photos in the vicinity?
No. I've seen no photos except the ones that I've taken my damn self.
Yes,
but if you were to go somewhere popular, you would see photos that people had taken there.
I took photos at Sky City.
And there's no other. So no one has ever taken a photo with colour
at
Sky City?
There was nothing there. Because I don't know if it is, like, you know, over, you know, a certain amount of time or what it is. Or if it's... Because I read something about, you know, things, you know, if it's within 50 metres, then it will automatically form, you know... briefly lived social groups. And I don't know if that is, you know, for as long as they're there, or if it is something where, you know, another person comes along and takes updated pictures and, you know, they get fed into the same group or not. Because it does nothing.
Why?
And then it crashed.
Why?
It does nothing and then it crashes.
And they got $41 million.
Yep.
There is too much venture capital money out there.
Yep.
Because that, obviously that $41 million is diddly squat.
Although, funny enough, the way you just described it, there is a kernel of an interesting idea there, is that if you had an app which showed you photos that have been taken in the vicinity of where you are, and then somebody went and actually found old photos and loaded them into the system, it would actually be quite interesting to be able to walk around Auckland and see what you know, Queen Street looked like in the 1930s or something. That would actually be quite an interesting app. And so colour as it is kind of a stupid idea. But there is actually an interesting idea in there somewhere.
Mm.
All right, so I just waited forever it takes for...
so I can patent that idea, actually.
For Android. No, but we've seen that sort of thing before, right? Like, I've seen pictures of, you know, like locations with World War II dudes and tanks and stuff, and then,
superimposed,
you know, with tourists.
Mm.
All right, so now what do? I'll click OK, and now I can post it. All right, well, I'll post it.
Do you add any text to it?
I could have added a comment,
okay,
but I didn't add a comment. But the thing is that I've posted pictures to it before, and even I couldn't see them. I wasn't in my own group. It hadn't detected me as being where I was. Where else am I? I'm only ever where I am.
People point out locality thing is a built-in function of the database, of many back-end databases. I think it's Mongo has a built-in... you know, search nearest or get nearest features.
So there's this icon.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does.
What happens when you press on it?
Oh, it's shown me the picture of a knob that I put up the other day. I can upvote it or comment. There you go, it's a knob.
Very shiny.
Nice knob. I'm going to upvote it. All right, well, whatever that did. I'm going to click this icon now. I'm back to a list.
You are a social media expert now.
I am such an expert. I'm a pro. There's a picture of a clock. I think it's a clock. Doesn't do anything. Oh, the screen's gone black.
Stupid.
I think it's crashed. It's a hard crashed.
Has it rebooted your phone?
No, it hasn't rebooted my phone, but it's crashed. Nice. All right, so color. Get fucked, color. Look, putting it really simply... All right, so the people who put the 40-odd million dollars into colour, they had 40-odd million dollars to put into it. So they must be smart enough to have made $40 million on Breivik's investments. So what is the thing with colour? What is the thing with colour that got them excited? Which just, it doesn't work.
They probably had.
No, they're not stupid.
This is the point: is that they have so much money.
Yeah.
That putting, you know, four people putting $10 million each, or four venture funds putting $10 million each into it is diddly. So somehow they caught the attention of these guys, and these funds have probably got hundreds of millions of dollars sitting around waiting to be invested in possible hits.
Well, something better than colour, then, please, for God's sake.
But I think I saw a piece online somewhere where it talked about, you know, the startup that Colour was.
Yeah.
That wasn't their original concept.
What was it?
It was something to do with some sort of social media
Twitter,
investment
but
thing.
For people in space.
in space, no one can hear you tweet. No, it was some online sort of investment thing you get on your phone, and then they obviously decided that was a crap idea and they changed it. But they'd already got the funding.
Like Nokia. Let's get out of timber and sawmills.
Yeah.
Get into phones.
I think we should get out of timber and sawmills, and we should get into actually making things, not just chopping things down and milking things. What an idea! All right, what's next? Oh, let me read some quotes. We're going to keep going back to Labour every now and then. I'm very sorry. Here's some quotes from Tumeke. Is it just me? I can't really do his voice. I could give it a go. No, I can't do it. Is it just me, or does it seem a tad optimistic that the Labour leadership seem to think that an 18-year-old running naked from a former minister's home he shares with a deputy leader at 2 a.m. wasn't going to be newsworthy enough to get out to the media? What headlines were Phil Goff and Annette King banking on to remove the public's gaze? Alien invasion? The Second Coming? O.J. Simpson breaking out of prison live, being chased in a car with a gun to his own head, ringing into Piers Morgan to confess he killed lots of white women? I mean, what the fuck? And it's right. What were they thinking?
This is the news story. And the other thing is that National would be hunting for this shit as well, because you look at the economy at the moment. They want anything to get the economy out of the papers. The economy, Christchurch, fucking nuclear disasters, anything to get any of that stuff out of the papers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another point from Tumeke. Yeah. He says, the frustration is that when the government are most vulnerable, when the reality of their disorganisation in Christchurch is starting to become apparent, when their zero budget is being announced, when their crippling of the welfare state will go ahead, when the lives of the 43% who earn less than $45,000 per year are about to become increasingly more difficult, we have a political opposition in total disarray. All right, well, you guys are silent, so I'll read some more. The only silver lining for Labour is that by November, the reality of privatisation and the demolition of public services will have left the promising Mr Hughes' fish and chip wrapper fodder, and the public will be feeling the full bite of the recession. There is a political battle to fight, and the Labour Party need to start asking themselves if they have the right leader for this fight, and they need to decide now.
Yeah, that when we were talking about who should lead them into the election, that's the one mitigating thing, isn't it? If they can get someone who can shine the light on the shit that's going on, that's the only possible redemption.
Yeah,
and also New Zealand lose the World Cup,
right? Oh, that's going to happen. Mm. Chances are very good that that's going to happen. So you mentioned that, you know, National are not, you know, not exactly providing all of the answers that they need to. There's a beautiful graph that I'll put in the show notes. I wish there was a way I could make it easier for people to see on their iPads, because if they look at the show notes there, it's just text, no pictures. Mm. Maybe I can. I don't want to do an M4A, which would mean I could put like synchronized images in the album art. I'm not sure if I want to actually go that far. But this is a graph. I found it on No Right Turn. I don't know where it's originally from. Actually, it's from the Dim Post. And this is about National's step change. And this is a graph, GDP growth, Australia and New Zealand, 2003. To 2010.
Oh, does it show we're catching Australia?
It shows that we're falling way, way far behind them. And we are, where in late 2008, we were just about caught up to them. We're in negative growth, way into the negative growth. They're still in positive growth. They were at about 4.6 when we were about 3. In late 2008, now we're about minus 1.5, and they're about 1.5. So huge changes. We are going backwards very, very fast. National said that they were going to fix all of this. They also said that people were fleeing New Zealand for Australia because of the Labour Party, the Labour government. But what have we seen happening?
Why is it so obvious to people with half a brain, and so, you know, just so completely opposite to National?
I don't know. Obvious, like the massive, the terrible crime wave that we suffered, and Labour that National have resolved.
Oh God! Thank God for that.
Thank God for that. I was afraid.
I was being robbed
for
in the
my
street,
life.
Like
you were
twice
being
a week.
Raped at the dentist, and the police did nothing. They said, "No, you weren't." He injected a local anaesthetic into your cheek. And said he was just going to pull on your cheek, and then nothing untoward happened, and then you left with the replaced filling. You weren't raped.
No.
But I say, Ben, this is a symptom of your repressed memories. I think it's actually it's a damn shame. It's a tragedy that they didn't listen to you when you didn't make a complaint.
Well, it's possibly because he went in and went, oh, go.
Did someone punch you in the jaw?
Yeah, he did that too.
Crime wave. There's a great graph that goes with that as well that shows that it wasn't actually a crime wave.
No, it was exactly the same as all other times. And if anything, it was actually it represented a low in crime in New Zealand. And the long-term trend seems to very slowly be going down. But
so coming back, right, the economy's in a like shambles.
Yes.
It's going really badly. And so then you cut taxes. How does that work?
It doesn't work because then you need to cut spending to pay for those cut taxes. Mm. The thing about taxes is that they pay for spending. They pay for the government to provide services.
Yeah, but let's take a step back. When you say the economy's in a shambles, they've got two problems here. There's the deficit.
They've got two problems because there was a problem with the GDP, and then they tried to use regex to fix it. There you go. That's a nerdy joke for you. Sorry, carry on. I shouldn't have interrupted, but I've been drinking inappropriately.
No, but that's the problem. You cut taxes to attempt to boost the economy,
yep.
But in the process, you increase the deficit.
Yep.
Now, what they were hoping is that you cut taxes and boost the economy, and then the boost in the economy makes up the taxes that you've cut. But it doesn't.
But instead, the economy collapsed simultaneously.
We have to find from Keith Ng where they're blaming it on Christchurch now as well. They're saying, no, everything's changed. We can't possibly spend anymore because Christchurch has totally screwed the economy.
Yeah,
but in fact, what's happened is their estimates for how well those tax changes would help.
Yeah.
Are off by $15 billion.
Right.
Off by $10 billion, and the other $5 billion is Christchurch.
Right. So, So what's really the problem here?
The problem is their dogma didn't come through.
Yeah. The problem is the tax cuts. The tax cuts were the problem. Seems pretty easy to solve.
But isn't government...
Just reverse it.
Isn't government too big?
Is government too big?
The IMF says so. The IMF, well-known left-wing liberal mouthpiece.
Do they say that government is too big? Our one?
They released a report, a big long report on the New Zealand economy, saying it had some risk and that the government is doing well and should continue to reduce the size of the government relative to GDP.
Did they say that any country was doing well?
I don't know.
Because it seems like it might be revealing to find out what countries they think are good.
Mm.
So, for instance, if they say that the US is good, then we know that we can discount them out of hand. If they say that Ireland is good, we can discount them.
I don't imagine they say that.
No one in their right mind would say that. So you're yawning, huh?
Sorry, yeah. No, it's...
Jeez, it's hard being...
I know, it's just my...
Can't breathe. Can't breathe. How's the diet going?
It's the repressed memories coming back. The panic attack.
I want to come back to China.
Come back to China, all right.
Yeah, because I want to ask Tom more about China.
Wait, how'd it go? Ching chong, ting tong, ling long.
Oh, God. Who was that?
Oh, some stupid buffoon. She's out of that school now, though.
Because there's an interesting Slashdot story saying China is to overtake US in science in 2 years. I'm not sure exactly, how you measure science.
I think similar to the articles I've seen before, it's probably something to do with the number of papers published and the number of papers referred to as well.
It's back. It's from the BBC as the original link.
Well,
that's obviously correct. But it's to do with...
So here at UCLA, it's finals week. So we know that I'm not the most politically correct person, so don't take this offensively. I don't mean it towards any of my friends. I mean it towards random people that I don't even know in the library. So you guys are not the problem. The problem is these hordes of Asian people that UCLA accepts into our school every single year, which is fine. But if you're going to come to UCLA...
Right, what that is a girl at UCLA. What was her name? I don't even remember. But she's terribly, horribly, hilariously racist and broadcasts it on YouTube. I mean, lots of people are racist.
we're all, you know, we've all expressed certain degrees of racism. This guy here's not a real New Zealander. You can hear it in his voice.
Damn right.
Your name sounds like it might be a New Zealand name, though.
Tom.
Yep. It's a good New Zealand name.
I don't
know. Not like, you know, Mohammed. That's not a New Zealand name, is it?
The only other guy I know called Tom in New Zealand is Dutch.
Right. Huh.
So.
Well, all right. Fine.
So this China overtaking USA in science is to do with the number of, like Tom said, the number of papers published.
Yeah.
Does that just mean they've got lower?
That's
quality?
Not enough. They've got
lower quality universities.
Publishing a paper doesn't necessarily mean anything.
So, Tom, did China feel scientific to you when you were there?
Or did it just feel dirty?
Well, it's not. I mean, in particular, the sort of the factories they have here. There's this very much this perception in the media that they're dirty places where people are working their fingers to the bone.
Sweatshops.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sure there are sweatshops in China. You know, if you are making trainers or something like that, then it doesn't have to be a pristine environment. But the kind of places I go, and I work for a company that makes bits for PCs, are clean rooms.
Yeah. You know? So they're populated with engineers.
Well, not just that, but even the workers are wearing, you know, static gear. And
bunny suits.
Yeah.
So it's stark and white and horrible, and they never get to see the light of day.
Well, yes.
Oh, damn.
But, I mean, the idea of it being a sweatshop in the sense that it's dirty and there's no air conditioning or anything like that is just ludicrous. You know, these are clean room environments.
But they're not cold to make the workers' lives better.
No.
That's not why they're aircon, is it? That's not why the air is pure.
It's positive pressure to keep the dust out.
Yeah, and it's done that way to keep the components at a standard temperature. No, I'm not saying they're doing it for the pleasantness of the...
I mean, so where do those workers. People live and sleep? What do they get to eat and how much are they paid? That's kind of more significant than, is the air in there, you know, sweltering or cool?
No, I'm just saying the traditional view of a sweatshop is absolutely not true in my experience.
Right.
I honestly couldn't tell you how much they get paid, although I know that Foxconn, I think, have given their workers something like a 35% pay rise in the last year.
But there was a reason for that. That wasn't out of the goodness of their hearts. They were trying to get in front of international press.
No, that's not the only reason.
You don't think so?
No.
There were protesters, weren't there?
It's actually something we've started to notice over the last couple of years is during Chinese New Year, there's a mass exodus.
Where everything bloody shuts down.
Everything shuts
down.
Very
frustrating.
And everybody goes home for a week.
Can't get deliveries to save yourself from doing stream.
No. Exactly. It's like B&H every bloody Saturday.
My heart bleeds here. No, there's this big mass exodus where a lot of people who live in the cities or near the factories, they go home to their ancestral village or where their parents still live.
So the trains are absolutely swamped.
Trains are chocker. There's a huge number of mopeds on the roads. It's unbelievable. There's this huge mass exodus. And what they've started finding over the last few years is that increasingly people don't come back.
Yeah. Right.
They'll go home for Christmas for the new year and will realize that they can get jobs near their homes, original villages,
right.
So they don't come back to the big cities.
Right.
And we've actually had this experience where we've gone into factories a week or two after Chinese New Year.
And lots of empty seats.
And some of the lines have shut down.
Right.
Because they have to go. And so this is the thing that...
See, workforce shortages is not something I associate with China.
And I've actually seen this. They've actually started having employment fairs now where people graduating from school, they don't get snapped up by the first bloke waving a bit of cash at them. They can actually go to an employment fair choose the factory they want to work.
That's such a great change.
This is what's been projected as well, isn't it? That they're basically...
They've reached the bottom of the labour pool.
A billion new middle class.
And the Foxconn factory I've been to is in a place called Yantai, which is not far from... It's about an hour away from Beijing. It's not the really, really big one at Shenzhen, I think.
Where they've got like 1.2 million workers and like company-provided apartment buildings. And
400,000 people or something like that. The one at Yantai is about 100,000 people.
Right.
And they are seriously discussing moving the factory inland.
Right.
Because at the moment it's on the coast.
Yeah.
And they're having trouble finding the labour.
Right.
And if they move inland, they'll get access to all the Chinese people who don't live near the coast.
Right.
Who are poorer.
Right.
But there is a serious problem, or becoming a serious problem in China, is that they have reached the end of their, you know, never-ending labour pool. And so Foxconn are having to give people a 35% pay rise.
That's great.
Companies are starting to actually compete for workers.
Yeah.
You're starting to see people strike in China, which is unheard of, quite apart from the political point of view. There are changes coming.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't believe you. If that's true, then that's really great, and it's much better than my cynical expectation that it was about, you know, stopping Western companies from pulling contracts.
I think,
when they got all the bad press they got.
There is an aspect to it of that, but the thing that a lot of people fail to understand is Foxconn are fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like I said, they've got one factory or one factory complex, obviously it's not one building, where they employ over 500,000 people.
Yeah.
They are one of the largest companies in the world. They employ a lot more people than Apple do.
Yeah.
So to say that they are influenced by Apple, who just make one product or a couple of products at one of their factories, is ludicrous. Yeah. They are a huge company.
The hypocrisy around the Foxconn suicides pissed me off, because the suicide rate was always and has been for a long time lower than the national average, right?
Yes.
So they've got 500,000 people, 10 of them commit suicide. That's tragic, but it's less than...
Well, it was purely Western media. I don't think anyone noticed in China.
And so how many per 500,000 commit suicide in New Zealand? Oh, yeah. Not good. Hey, what's your... I have this weird philosophical... I don't know if it's a philosophical question, ideological question, about the fact that we've effectively outsourced our underclass to China and India.
Are you asking me?
Both of you.
We've still got our own underclass. It's the uneducated. We still have factories. We still have people with low education.
We have a much larger
low incomes.
Producing clothes and iPods and everything else for us that we just don't acknowledge.
Yeah. And we have an underclass that I don't even know what they do. Work in factories and probably, the people that move the stuff that China makes.
Clean your
move
office
it around from warehouse
to
warehouse. Exactly. And that's something that can never possibly go away, because we need those jobs to be done until we get robots. But, when is that going to happen?
There was a great... there's a paper written in the... I think it was written in the 30s or something. It was a great article where the guy basically wondered what humans would do with all their free time in the 1950s.
Yeah.
When machines did everything.
Yeah.
They said there'd be a new renaissance in art and poetry and stuff, because people would just be sitting around.
Unfortunately, he didn't foresee television.
Yeah, but that started... That's something that's been discussed more and more. I can't remember, is it Clay Shirky?
Yeah.
And he wrote a book called Here Comes Everyone, about what you do with the sort of cognitive space when people stop watching so much television and start spending time online, which is much more of an interactive medium. You're not passively watching television. You're reading a blog, and then you want to make a comment, or you want to write your own blog, or you want to do a mashup. Mm. It's we're starting to see that sort of people feeding back into the system.
Yeah.
They all go to 4chan and DDoS the DIA.
They do not. I understand that you're doing a segue, but they do not. That predicted, as Tom says, as Clay noticed, that renaissance of poets and artists has happened. It's happening now.
Yeah, right.
It didn't happen in the 50s. You want to see a lot of poetry? Look at LiveJournal.
Yeah. You want to see a lot of video?
You want to see a lot of poetry? Probably look at Twitter. Do you remember Haiku Tuesday?
What happened to that?
It just faded away. I think I might have been the last person to try it, and it just, the domain name was, lapsed, and away it went. There's a lot of artists in the world now making money from, turning their trade than possibly have ever existed before.
Poetry. ICANN has Cheeseburger as a depository of poetry as well.
Would you call it poetry?
Prose. Short form? I don't know.
It just say poetry. It doesn't have to be good poetry.
No, so I very rudely interrupted your segue, and I can't even remember what it was for.
I was actually talking about DDoSing the DIA, but I don't even have a story on that. Did that happen?
Didn't seem to. They seemed to stay up.
Yeah.
The thing that people need to realize about this thing that they call anonymous with a capital A, it's not really such a thing.
No.
It really is just a bunch of individuals whose interests sometimes are the same, whose desires are sometimes the same.
What they do have is
there's no organization really.
They have lower but Iron Cannon, which is if one or two people decide they want to do a DDoS, they can actually control all of these PCs willingly.
Not all of them.
No, but I think there's probably, you talk about Anonymous, there's several layers in that. There's probably a bunch of teenagers out there who signed up to Anonymous because they thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And they download the Iron Cannon, and then you can set the Iron
Cannon. And then the police come knocking.
To connect to the channel. Yes. And then whoever's in charge of the channel points it at whatever they want it to.
Yeah.
So this is that in terms of what Anonymous can do.
Yeah.
There's things like that. But again, if one or three people say this isn't your personal army, then it's not going to happen. So,
Yeah, well, I mean, that's right. The thing is, that there is some sort of hierarchy, but there's no real organization. because, you know, it's all free will. It's like an, it's an anarchist group where if people don't agree with an idea, they just don't participate. And if, you know, attacking the DIA doesn't make sense to enough people, they just don't do it. And so it just, you know, it fizzles out. And if something really appeals to a large number of them, then they'll do it and they'll do the shit out of it.
It's quite special in that way.
It is special in that way. And I like it. I like
the way it's emergent.
I like some of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's quite funny now that you've got quite serious hackers like the HB Gary guys associating with Anonymous as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that traditionally in the past, that would have been the guy would have taken the credit for himself. But, yeah. Interesting. Where was I going? Oh, Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger's poetry. I just think
Cheeseburger. So Cheeseburger got
$30 million of funding.
Huge.
See, I think that's more valuable than
what's his name? Like Woo or something?
Lee who? Let me find. Look it up. Because they've
Smith?
They've just bought Know Your Meme.
Robinson
funds. Ben Huh.
Ben Ha.
Ben Huh.
Right. Yeah. Ha. Huh.
But who would have thought? Wouldn't that just be great if you were that guy and you'd started up a lot?
Doing goofy shit that you ripped off from 4chan.
A repository of long cats from 4chan. Yeah.
Kitty captions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and suddenly $30 million later.
$30 million of funding. But yeah, see, that to me is much more valuable.
Hookers and blow for everybody! I want fireworks and I want them now!
Well, it doesn't. I mean, what's he going to spend $30 million on? What is there to sort of venture capital?
I'll give you a hint of what he's going to spend it on.
Hookers and blow.
Know Your Meme.
Yes, they bought Know Your Meme, which I didn't even know existed.
You haven't looked at Know Your Meme. I've bloody linked it in the show notes enough times.
Yeah, but Ben's on the show. He doesn't need to go and look at the notes afterwards.
Neither of us really cares about reading the articles, you know, having the detail. The readership actually on the website has absolutely plummeted. Everyone just gets the show through iTunes.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't look at the website.
Remember someone asked me, they said, I'm going to start a new podcast. Do I even need a website? And I said, you do for the first 5 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you need to take the website of it terribly seriously. You got to be on iTunes, though. That's really the only thing you got to do. You got to be on iTunes.
No, I haven't got iTunes installed. I won't have it on my PC.
All right. And I've you know, made allowance for that. You can use whatever podcatcher you want, or you can go and listen on the website if you want, or not, as the case may be. I mean, I think that we discovered when you played Urban Dictionary Word of the Week during episode 21 that I think you'd possibly never listened.
No. Well, no, I think I did try to listen once before.
Yeah.
And had terrible trouble. I got a crap internet connection at home and I just kind of gave up with it. But that was
the other live show.
Oh, that was specifically the live show. Okay, so you don't really do the podcast thing, but you're into the live experience?
No, I keep meaning to go and download the podcast and then possibly on my next 10-hour flight to China.
Yeah.
That requires me being organized.
Tell you what, episode 20.
That's a good one.
Well, what I want to know is if you've reached the 25th episode, is at the end of the first season. Are you going to release a DVD with all the outtakes?
That would be so much work.
We could just redo the outtakes live.
All right. So you say, interesting, 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 yawn, yawn, interesting, interesting. And I go, awesome, awesome. And then my head pops and I go, and freak out about something really insignificant.
And then we do a Keanu interview.
Yeah, and then we do Keanu and then we play our robot voice. Thanks for listening. Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips. This show is cancelled. Boop. And that's the end of it. So that's pretty much episode 25 right there. I'll just replay that bit. Doing a highlights reel is just, there's no chance of it ever happening. Never, ever, ever.
This means listening to 50 hours.
Yeah.
50 hours plus of podcasts.
In fact, how many hours are there already off the show? I can tell you, actually.
There's going to be a point where we're creating more hours of show than there actually exists time. I'm sure.
We're not Facebook pictures. It's
the progression that we're going, the rate we're going.
Is it like YouTube, isn't it? It's 5,000 hours a minute or something uploaded or something.
It's unbelievable.
All right. In the 25 releases that we've had so far, it's just under 37 hours.
Oh, okay. It's not as bad as I thought then.
Yeah, okay. I've listened to every one of those hours probably 4 or 5 times. Yeah, it's easy for you, Ben.
I'm so consciously aware of that.
If only Twitter was more aware of it.
He bought the things.
Yeah, that's true.
I bought some mic stands today.
Yeah, and he bought the mixer.
bought the mixer.
There you go. Yeah. So he's the money. You're the talent.
No, I'm also the money.
He's the money as well.
I'm the money and the talent.
Okay.
Why do we even do this?
It's going off the rails again.
Tell you what. You know what? I'm really glad to live in. Is it? Do we still? We don't really use the phrase first world, third world anymore. Certainly, second and fourth don't exist.
Where did the second world go?
Never existed. Never happened. I think it actually had some particular political meaning.
It's a description of the political spectrum you live in. It's actually not this sort of concept of Western and society or anything like that. If you actually, I'm sure it's on Wikipedia somewhere. You can actually look it up. And the first world was basically, you know, free democracies.
Yeah.
And third world was controlled dictatorial type stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's not about being rich and poor necessarily, is it?
No, not really.
Yeah, it's funny because
but that's what it means now.
I remember
first world is rich, third world is poor.
I remember hearing about third world and wondering what it meant. Do you remember when you first heard phrases? Like, we had an American visitor once and he said, I need to find the little boy's room. And I was just a complete blank. I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought he was talking about perhaps...
You have a room that you keep them? Are you Michael Jackson?
A bedroom? Or what? And I went to my dad and said, what does he mean, little boy's room?
Yeah. And he'd never heard the phrase, no means no. When he came into your little boy's room.
Okay.
That's the second Ben Beck raped joke. Dear. Ben loves to be raped. He loves it.
I was
told
off,
not really
I
rape.
Was told off on Twitter for linking to Bloody Penny Arcade because they have rape jokes.
They had the Dick Wolf, right?
Raped by Dick Wolves.
Yeah, but that was...
That's them.
I think that if people watch Penny Arcade TV, and particularly the drugs episode, they might get a better appreciation of the people that they're dealing with.
Mm. I didn't get told off for linking to, what's it called, Oglaf?
Oglaf?
Yeah.
What's that?
You never, it's an online cartoon, but it's quite rude.
Oh, good. I probably did get told off for linking to Lemon Party. Look it up. Do a Google Images search. Lemon Party. Do a Google Image search. Tub
work.
Girl. Yeah, not at work. No, the joke doesn't work if you do it at work because you'll be in so much trouble. Goatsy. Everyone knows that one though. What's another good one?
I don't know. Two girls, one cup.
I did a version of that. I played it on a video projector and danced naked in front of the projector. And you can get that if you look at the internet.
That's quite scary.
It's on the internet somewhere.
I never watched Two Girls, One Cup, but I did come across a website.
The reaction shots?
No. It was a website for that explained popular video means for blind people.
Uh-huh.
So I've read a description of what happens in the video.
Need to find that. So I started talking about, you know, the first world, third world stuff. The reason I'm bringing that up is because I really enjoy having first world problems, like my glass is pretty much empty,
and
I'd have to go all the way to the kitchen to get more inappropriate driving wine.
Need to get one of those beer throwing robots.
And iPad 2s are sold out.
And so I've got an iPad 2 sold out. Oh no! What am I going to do with my time?
And my $700 fucking dollars.
$700. That's if you get the cheapest one, right?
Yeah, or $799, I think. Yeah.
So there's another. So everyone's heard of this idea of the first world problem. This is stuff that is actually really insignificant, like. Oh, they didn't have the shirt in my size, or my feet are so tired from standing up all day at this
wedding.
Expo or at this wedding or whatever. Or I've had too much to eat. You know, if you ever complain about any problems like this, you're doing pretty well. So there's a little list on BuzzFeed of just a few of these first world problems. Number one on their list. McDonald's only gave me 3 barbecue sauces for my 20-piece nuggets, so now I have to ration them. Oh, it's such a hard life. I took such a long shower this morning that the hot water ran out. All the dishes are in the dishwasher, so I had to eat my waffles off a Tupperware lid. Think about what's happening in Libya right now.
I do have those moments every now and then when you like turn on the tap to rinse your glass and you like rinse it 3 or 4 times and then have a big drink.
And you've probably used 2 liters of water to have a 200 ml drink. And it's like, you think that water could probably have saved
two lives or extended them for a day.
Don't go there.
You can't get that water to them. So give some money to UNICEF.
Yeah, true.
Problem solved. Okay, because that water coming out of your tap wasn't going to go to where, you know, that person's going to die of not having water. Right? You don't need to really worry about that water. The water was going to go no further than the Waitakere Ranges here and out in the Gulf. Mm. Right? And then back into the cycle. That water, you weren't going to bottle that water up and post it off in a mail bag.
No. Just, but yeah, you see where I'm coming from.
I see where you're coming from. And that water would make a huge difference to, you know, some lives.
Yeah. Or just also the ability to
waste.
Walk up to a tap and turn it on and know the water's going to come out and be surprised when it doesn't.
Yeah.
Incredibly surprised when your car doesn't turn on.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh my God, now I'm going to have to wait here for like 25 minutes for a mechanic to come here and fix it for me.
Or maybe stay home and work from home.
This is so inconvenient. Oh, so now I have to take the train or the bus. Yeah, or like you say, work from home. Or take ride a bicycle, get a taxi. Oh God, I'm going to be 10 minutes late to work because of this. The job that you're probably overpaid for compared to many people in the world who travel, you know, 4 hours a day just to get water.
There's that
water.
Great graph, isn't there, about you can type in your income in US dollars and it tells what
percentage you're in.
0.03% of the top earners in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the poorest person in New Zealand is probably in the top 5% in the world. Yeah. It's all pretty. Oh, the string on my tea bag fell into the water.
Although then you see those reports that, is it the richest 300 people in the US own 50% of the money or something?
Right.
Insane.
Yeah, it's
400 people. Isn't Mike Moore said that? Michael Moore said 400 people in the US have 52% of the wealth.
Right, which is obscene.
Yeah.
It's absolutely obscene. Yeah. What have those 400 people actually done? Many of them probably
they
inherited.
Windows?
Bill Gates actually was quite innovative.
Oh yeah, I've got a lot.
And he's done a great deal of good work for charity.
Mm. Yeah.
He's probably saving quite a lot of lives. So I don't know that I'd begrudge Gates.
No, not at all. I'm just kidding.
But there's a lot. I think the problem people are actually the ones who earn like between $200,000 and $800,000 a year. I bet they're the problem people.
But
they're
the ones who probably complain about not having enough money.
That's right. Yeah, when what they really don't have enough of is time with their families, because they constantly work in their goddamn law firm, or they're a
hedge fund,
hedge fund or whatever the hell, where they're not really contributing anything to society or knowledge or anything. They're just fattening their wallets, and then they'll be the ones that moan and complain, and they'll also be the ones that are doing all of the tax evasion, the less skillful tax evasion.
No one's debating tax, are they?
What? No, of course not. No, it's tax minimization. It's tax minimization. This boat that I only ever use myself, it's a charter vessel. Legally, it's a charter vessel.
So the cost.
My holiday house, it's a rental that no one else has ever been in except me. No, it's a rental.
It's owned by the company.
Just, I guess I'm just not very good at marketing
corporate
it.
Corporate escapes. Corporate, corporate, what do you call them?
Yeah. So for some reason, no one ever books it except me. No, it's tax minimization. I'm not avoiding my obligations.
How much tax did GE pay last year?
Zero. Actually, negative $3 billion. They made over something like $15 billion profit.
Right.
Zero tax, according to some reports, and a US government kickback of something like $2.7 billion.
That's because they employ so many people. If they weren't around, then all these people wouldn't have jobs. The government should pay
them. They would have jobs, because everyone would have jobs regardless.
The government should pay them to employ all these people.
Well, actually, they currently are. But the thing is that the amount of corporate tax that is required for a country to operate, I think often it's more than the income tax for individuals. Or, countries actually don't work. You have to close your libraries and your parks. You have to stop replacing the light bulbs in the streetlights and fixing potholes, which is what's happening. You have to do things, ridiculous, repugnant things like privatizing prisons and, overpopulating school classrooms and
fire service in one state in the US, didn't they?
Yeah, we talked about that on the previous podcast.
That's probably why I
heard. Yeah, it worked really well for them.
Well, it worked really well for people.
But seriously, you can see
that was a pointed look, listeners.
You can see where it comes from. You can imagine the local congressman, the GE guy, goes, "We better get some more tax cuts this year,
and we'll give you a really good job when you're finished."
And also, if you don't,
and your current government job,
300 people in your city, they're going to be out of jobs because we'll have to leave.
Yeah.
I so want to know where that
mighty fine workforce you got there. Shame if anything would happen to it.
I want to know where that IT guy at Auckland City Council is going to end up working after he leaves.
SAP. SAP.
Or some. Well, I don't know if that all that money went to SAP. It went on SAP contractors.
Yeah, if you,
so it's going to be at Dell.
I went through the same thing years ago. I used to work for Sony in England, and they brought SAP in.
Yeah.
And the actual money they paid for SAP was nothing compared to the almost 12 months of shite we went through while they tried to get it to work properly.
Right.
Well, paying these contractors £200 an hour or something.
If you've ever looked at Seek, not that I, you know, look at that weekly, recently, you would see that there was...
I get an email, so I don't have to look
at it. Oh, right. Okay.
For some reason, there's not much call for podcast producers, which I keep trying to find, you know, a job for, because, I wouldn't mind doing it... Doing it full-time, but...
But there's always SAP consultants in there for $200 an hour or whatever they want to pay them. It's amazing. What's so good about SAP?
Creates a lot of jobs. A lot of very specific kinds of jobs. The next story?
Must be lovely.
In my experience, though, the highest paid IT rates are for the most tedious jobs. So SAP, Oracle administration, that kind of thing. The really sort of, this is just fucking tedious.
I could imagine, actually, it would be pretty horrible. Just basically changing configurations and moving data around.
I've got a correction from earlier in the show. I think I said $2.7 billion tax benefit from the US government for GE. According to this headline, it was actually $3.2 billion.
Okay.
And rather than $15 billion, they made $14 billion of profit. So there you go.
Billion here, billion there.
We're going to have Tom do a dictionary word of the week.
Discourse Weekly Show, Urban Dictionary. Word of the week. Word of the week.
Do you ever leave those in?
Word of the week. Word of the week. I've been known to leave them in, but not very often. Maybe that means I'll have to leave that one in. Where's the actual sting? I'm going to play.
the one of what you were singing to cover the bit where you're trying to find the sting.
Yeah, but the listeners don't know that. As far as I know, I'm just easily distracted.
Okay.
When really I'm scrabbling for a thing, which I don't even really need because I'll just drop it in later anyway.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Urban Dictionary,
great.
Word of the week.
Okay, so it's
Urban
just going to look like that.
Word of the week.
All right, so apparently you get four words. You get all the words. Your word. So you have actually played this game now.
Yeah, just that.
Your word. Is walk-in closet.
Walk-in closet.
Walk-in closet.
Mm.
It's had 1,200 upvotes. It's had 4,300 downvotes. And it was the Urban Dictionary word of the day, November 13, 2008.
2008. So that dates it. So it would all have been all about, I don't know, that's just after the financial crisis. Just after Lehman Brothers. So it must have something to do with Goldman Sachs. I'm trying to put him off.
See, because of him now, all I can think of is little boys' room and sex and rape. He's got this influence.
Walk-in closet.
My mind's a blank.
Just give it a go.
I don't know. It's just sort of suggestive of some kind of room where you can go in and temporarily pretend not to be gay.
I was thinking of the closet gay thing as well, personally. Walk-in closet. Is it a large wardrobe off the side of your bedroom?
Oh, Ben, you've played this game before. Tom, what was your guess?
It was a room where you can go in and pretend not to be gay for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And neither of you is actually correct.
Oh.
I'm very pleased to tell you. But not too far wrong. Walk-in closet actually is a woman who is a beard or disguise for a gay man that has not come out.
Oh.
Walk-in closet. So it's basically a closet you sort of pretend not to be in. Really?
Hang on, what? Say it again. It's a woman who has a beard.
A woman who... Have you never heard the term beard? A woman who is a beard, like John Key's wife.
Right, okay, fair enough.
A woman who is a beard or disguise for a gay man that has not come out.
Right.
Yep, walk-in closet. Terrible word.
So that's what Darren Hughes needs.
So an invisible beard.
Maybe that's why he lives with Annette King. So he's heard of the theory, but doesn't understand that you're meant to pretend to be engaged in a sexual relationship.
Right. He hasn't actually got the execution right.
He hasn't got it right at all. No, he hasn't got any of it right. Poor guy. I hope it's... I mean, because I did read that he was adamant that he isn't gay.
Well, it's quite serious early on about we... You couldn't know what it must be like to be in that position where you think you can't say you're gay when you are.
It's New Zealand! How many out politicians are there? We had a fucking transsexual.
Do you know it's the politicians, though? Maybe he's worried about telling his parents.
They know.
Have you met them?
I don't need... Have they met him? He's a flaming queer. I'm not just saying that because he's a redhead.
I had a lecturer at university who we all thought was gay, including the gay guys on the course.
Yeah.
And then one day we went into the lecture theatre and he'd written on the blackboard, "Lecture cancelled today, my wife is having a baby." And we were all sitting there going, bloody hell.
Doesn't mean he's not gay.
No, but we just assumed...
Do you remember Cal Wilson, the comedian? How long have you been in New Zealand?
2003.
Right. So maybe Carl Wilson was... Maybe Carl Wilson wasn't really visible anymore in 2003. You remember Carl Wilson? She was a comedian.
She's on 7 Days every now and then.
Yeah, she's... I've seen her on 7 Days.
You've seen her? Oh, yeah. Is she back? Oh, that's good, because she was in Australia for quite a while. A lot of people thought she was gay, including all of... I went to her one of her gigs at the Comedy Fest in, like, I don't even know, 1998 or something. 1999. Maybe. And there were a lot of lesbians, including like most of the production team for Queer Nation or something. One of those. There was a TV show for a while, Out. Yep. I can't remember what it was called, or something like that. And so there were all these lesbians in the audience, clearly also under the clearly also under the misapprehension that she was a lesbian. And then I don't know if it was because she saw all of these gay women in the audience or not, but she then made a bunch of jokes about her boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm not a gay icon. You can't touch my boobs.
Well, you can be a gay icon without being gay.
Of course. Yeah, that's true. Elizabeth Taylor.
I saw Disaster Radio.
Wait,
was on Twitter.
Do I mean Elizabeth Taylor?
Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli.
But Liza I think Minnelli
Elizabeth,
as well.
Elizabeth Taylor probably could.
Yeah.
Someone.
I saw Disaster Radio on Twitter saying he was happy to have finally been recognised as a gay icon.
Is he?
I don't think he... Well, I had no idea, but...
God, he was good.
Yeah.
So, coincidentally, I just mentioned last night how good I thought he was.
Mm.
Jeez, he closed the Onya Awards in Wellington.
Sort of eight
a couple of months ago.
Dance.
Yeah, chip tunes.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I mean, the music was all right, but what was really great was his performance on stage. So he's up there with his like keyboards and samplers or whatever, but he's doing all these awesome little dance moves.
Yeah.
God, he was his state, and he was wearing tight little shorts and like an over-tight t-shirt, and it was bloody good. It was brilliant.
It's very good.
Great performer, great presence, a lot of fun. And clearly just doesn't take things too seriously, which, you know, I'm a big fan of. There's a lot of wankery in music.
Mm.
Are there any other news stories that either of you wants to talk about?
Any news in your life? No.
I want to talk about some news.
Yeah.
Google got a patent. The US Patent Trademark Office have given Google a patent for their doodles, which is where they have seasonal... Hey. Yeah. Where they have like seasonal and relevant
doodle and yeah,
exactly. They got a patent for that. I've got prior art because I was doing that, and maybe as early as 1996, certainly in 1997.
An image on a website in relation to the day of the year.
Wasn't it? Well, really, what it is that when you click on it, it goes to a relevant search result. So it's not just the logo. So I didn't quite do every part of this. But I was making seasonal and even, you know, minute-to-minutal logos on the iHug website when I was iHug webmaster in maybe late 96, certainly in 1997. Yes. So I say they don't deserve it.
You can't patent that.
But
here you can't, there you can.
But the US Patent Office quite often seems to grant patents and then let somebody else find the prior art. And challenge it rather than bothering.
But that's the wrong way. That's like
themselves.
That's making the market have to cover a very heavy cost.
Know, yes, but
they took 9 years to evaluate this.
I know, but for all I know, they're getting backhanders from patent lawyers.
You think the PTO is? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, it just what wasn't they? Didn't they give Amazon a patent for one-click shopping or something a while ago?
Yeah. Oh, a long time ago. Didn't that happen in like 1998?
Oh, possibly. I'm quite old. So, but I mean, there have been.
So none of the examiners would have been familiar.
Well, that's
with
the other
that kind
thing.
Of thing.
It makes
right?
you wonder. You know. Maybe these people are really old and haven't.
But they must be familiar with it now because so many of the patent requests must be software related now. Because it's so easy to make a, you know, a so-called innovation in software. You don't have to build anything, right? You don't have to build a bunch of prototypes to make a thing work and figure it out. You know, you just write some friggin' code or alternately draw pictures that link to a different search result for this bloody doodle patent. I did something so similar to this before them. That I'm very frustrated.
So is
that
like
about.
Putting the holly leaves on the I Hug logo at Christmas time?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Or like beach scenes in summer and.
Could you click on it?
Yes. Yes, you could. But I think happened. That all it did was reload the page. Yeah. So it didn't do the second half of it, but did it the part that's important to most people?
Yeah, I didn't even really know. You could click on the Google logo and go somewhere relevant.
Yeah, that's been true. That's been true for a while. So they put the request through. I think something I read. I skimmed. Let's not pretend I really read it. They put this request through in something like 2001, and so now they approved this patent in 2011. But so how can we possibly let them take? I mean, it's not even our country. It's not our organization. We've paid nothing to them. But how is it reasonable that they take 10 years to vet an application? And then don't actually really do the research. Mm. The reason, of course, is that they've got a huge workload.
Because you say they put the patent in 2001. Yeah. I mean, when did Google start out?
1998.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, 2001, there were probably still six people sitting around a cardboard box, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, that's something that's really interesting. A comparison of the number of developers at Google, at Microsoft, and at Facebook. Facebook has very few developers and do so many things. Like, so Photos was one developer's initiative.
Really?
So he decided to do it, and he still works on it sometimes. I can't remember. Oh, God damn it, I'm going to be an order of magnitude off. They've either got 70 developers or 700 developers. It's somewhere in that range. Whereas, you know, Microsoft...
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. But then again, Facebook's one thing.
No, it's not.
But
some people would say that Microsoft was Windows.
Well, yeah.
Facebook's not one thing.
Office and SharePoint.
Because Photos is really separate from, you know, the wall or whatever.
Yeah, I'm certainly not saying it's a single feature application, but it's...
If you look at who has got more developers per user, even, Facebook are just amazing. Like 1.5 million users per developer or something.
It does always make me really wonder when you look at those tech companies.
I love the way that you constantly yawn.
It must be something with my metabolism.
Yeah.
But you look at the thing that always amazes me is I think it's Twitter has 500 employees or something like that.
Right. Is it that many?
What do they do all day?
Hopefully a lot of them are in server rooms putting in new machines.
Well, now that they've probably has asked people to stop writing their own Twitter apps, they've obviously all run off and started trying to write Twitter apps, I suppose. Which is just a very strange thing to do, but there you go.
Yeah, when your success is built really on your API. Yeah.
It's not strange in that you can understand why they're doing it, so that they can basically bring their advertising model to the client.
Yeah.
But like you say, Twitter wouldn't exist if it wasn't for cool little apps on your iPhone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, I was a web client user for a very, very long time. Because, you know, it was mainly good enough for me. But a hell of a lot of people, it's not a good way to use Twitter, really, because you don't get sophisticated filtering. And so if you've got a lot of followers and you want to actually try and have some chance of engaging with them, you know, reasonably well, I think filtering and so on.
Yeah, I've come to embrace that. I it didn't work for me for a while, but now I do, where I have a friends and a family list, so I can actually see everything some people say.
Yeah.
Because I'm still in the dark ages, actually. I use a plugin for Outlook called Lookout.
Right.
Because most of the time I'm looking at Twitter, I'm at work. So it basically just shows up as another sort of email feed.
Oh. Right.
That's which funny. Also means, of course, that if anyone glances at my shoulder, it doesn't look like Twitter. It yeah. looks like an email feed.
There was a good Twitter client earlier in the day that looked exactly like Excel.
The annoying thing is about it is the company that developed it have stopped doing any work on it.
Oh.
But won't... Well, they won't open source it, and they won't let me pay for it, so they do some more work on it, which is really irritating.
Oh, no.
So it'll recognize the old style retweets
yeah.
because it's got my name, but it won't recognize the new ones. So if right. I want to see if I've been retweeted with the new Twitter retweet, I have to go on the Twitter website. Yeah. It's just silly things like that wish they do.
Have you been seeing something really strange with retweets of your stuff where it will sometimes say, tweet it, retweet it? You know, it'll be here on your retweets list, but it won't have a name beside it. Mm. Or it'll say, been retweeted by these three people and others. And yes. it's like, who? Who? Who are these others?
I have noticed that.
Who is retweeting this?
I presume it must be pulling
people with
ones.
Locked profiles, right?
Yeah, or the RTs. I don't know.
Well, I did read a piece the other day about a guy who's saying that he loves Twitter. You know, as most of us do, they come to it sort of thinking, what on earth is this thing? How on earth could I make use of this? It just seems kind of silly.
Mm.
And then you kind of get sucked into it. But he said the way that Twitter are trying to start making money out of themselves is just a bit pathetic and not really going to work very well. Yeah. He said he'd actually quite happily pay some sort of subscription
yeah.
to get, say, a better search facility on Twitter or something on the website.
That lasts more than a day.
But because he'd quite happily pay a reasonable subscription fee.
Yeah. It depends on what reasonable
Twitter.
Is. Yeah, I might as well. But the trouble is, if there was a subscription fee, a lot of people would leave, and then there would actually be less.
No, almost like a. So I was.
It's like a pro user.
The my brain's going.
So it's like a premium account where you get slightly better facilities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not even that. I was watching an online a chat. Oh, it was on one of the free-to-air channels on Sky, where public address. Guy was interviewing some people at the web forum,
right?
And he was talking to the guy who started Instapaper.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name. Okay. And the guy said there is a subscription on the website, and it gets you nothing, and people are still paying for it.
Yeah,
because they currently haven't got round to figuring out what the subscription would give you.
Yeah,
but they put it on the website anyway, and people are paying $5 a month or something just because they like Instapaper.
He released some stats on the clients that use it, and was surprised to see how many iPad users use it, and to see that as many the Apple iOS versions are all kept very very closely up to date. But there was nothing, of course, about Android, because he doesn't release an Android or a Windows Phone 7 or anything else, an app for anything else, because I guess he's just an Apple guy.
No, but other people do.
Other people do, and I use it. So there are Android users of Instapaper, probably lots. He's getting nothing out of it because, of course, he sells the iOS app. How easy would it be for him to just, grab an Android developer and say, we'll just do a rev share and have an official app? And then that'd be in the stats, as it is. According to his website, Android doesn't exist.
Because people will be complaining about it.
Well, maybe they would, but ignore them.
But as I said...
you pay a dollar for the app.
Yeah.
You pay nothing for the servers. And also, another thing, he hasn't released extensions for the browser, but the bookmarklet doesn't work right in Google, because only a fucking dickhead would have their bookmarks bar visible all the time. Right? And so if your bookmarks bar, your bookmarks bar is visible all the time.
Oh, yeah,
fucking get rid of it, you dickhead.
How do I go to very, very frequently?
Start a new tab, and then it's visible.
What?
Bookmarks bar is visible on a new tab.
I didn't know this. Why didn't you tell me this earlier?
I'm telling you now.
This is an outrage.
only a dickhead or, Ben. But on the bright side, your name is Sexy Ben, apparently. Sorry, Tom. But I'm sure that you use your bookmarks bar correctly in Chrome. You're an IE user, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so the bookmarklet for Instapaper isn't visible in Chrome if you've got your window set up right.
No, that doesn't work, right? So because what I do is I can...
But if you use an extension, let me just finish my thought. If you use an extension, you'll have a little button over there on the right-hand side, and if you push that button, it'll add it to your Instapaper.
Yes.
Yeah? And then people are like, blah, 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 trademark infringement, whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, why doesn't that motherfucker just release goddamn extensions? What is he so busy with? Have you looked at the website? It's pretty fucking basic.
It's not doing a great deal of work. So just release a couple of fucking extensions and I will use the official one. Release an Android app and I will use the official one. I'll even fucking pay for it. Just don't complain about other people releasing apps for the ecosystem that you've built.
I don't think he was he?
I don't know that he was. I don't know that he was, but other people were complaining for him.
Oh, well, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
But the point I was trying to make was that there's a subscription model there that doesn't give you anything at all, and people are still subscribing to it. So why shouldn't
Twitter do something like that? But it does, because it will help pay for him to continue the service.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nothing.
So in that sense, it's kind of like an ongoing tip jar.
Sense of well-being.
Mm. Right. And there's something to that.
Morgan, your idea of hiding the bookmarks bar in Google Chrome makes me do extra work, because I now have to add a new tab and then click on where I want to go, whereas...
But look at the size of your goddamn screen. It's so clean. And the bookmark bar is so ugly.
I can control click on something like Google Reader and it will immediately open a new tab for me.
Right. Well, you can have the dickhead bar out if you want. It's your choice.
I have to say I've always used Firefox, but since I upgraded Firefox 4, I'm now getting a bit pissed off at it because it's such a memory hog.
Yeah.
I'm actually noticing sometimes when I open Visual Studio at work or something and it runs like a dog and I shut Firefox and it starts working okay. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So now Firefox 4, did that exist in time for the latest Pwn2Own competition? I don't know if it was Firefox 4. So it's Firefox 4. Have they got all the sandbox stuff that Chrome, you know, kind of invented? Because Safari got the sandboxing? Because Chrome seemed to be, as well as being really fast and pretty stable, and, you know, extensions are also good. I've got a couple of extensions installed, nothing like the plugins I used to have in Firefox. Mm. They're secure. It doesn't get taken down much compared to other browsers, right? So if Firefox is still a piece of junk and every drive-by coming.
Sorry, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah?
No, they've had that in since 3.6, I think.
Right,
okay. Because you now get when Flash crashes all the time.
So that'll be like tab isolation? Saying, that'll be a separate process for each tab? But do they also have like sandboxing stuff?
Don't know.
Because I think that's the really key thing for Chrome.
The other thing I love about Chrome is the updating. I had it. I didn't realize it until someone told me that it updates itself. I looked at the version and said, hang on, I was on version 5 a while ago, now I'm on version 9.
Except that it had. Maybe I've got my settings different from yours because mine doesn't automatically update itself. It automatically goes and gets the update often, or every time you look at the About page, it'll get the latest
mine
version.
Mine always updates. It's great.
Right, mine doesn't do that.
Yeah, but Firefox does that too.
So Tech Podcast
now
coming to an end.
Oh no, of course it always did. But every time you bloody start it, and because of the way the plugins work, oh my god, starting up Firefox got the reason I started using Chrome. Was because of that the experience with the constant updates of goddamn Firefox.
We found three new updates
so
to your
slow
extensions.
And there was just endless updates. Mm. Couldn't stand it.
It depends how many plugins you've got, I suppose.
Yeah.
The problem I have at the moment, my work laptop it's set up to be dual boot because I do actually have to use Windows XP because that's what we use in the factory. And the problem is when you don't use Windows XP for 2 or 3 months, and then you go out to China and switch to Windows XP, and the first thing it does is it goes, I've got 847 things to update right now, and you can't do anything for 2 hours because it's not just Microsoft, it's Firefox.
The first thing it does is when it gets hacked. You turn it on in China. No.
Well, I have antivirus.
Oh, right. So, were there any corrections from last week, Morgan?
There are lots.
Are there?
Yep, the most important one is your completely made-up bullshit numbers on smoking deaths, where you said that about 20% of smokers die from smoking-related illness.
Did I?
The lowest estimate that I've found is 50%.
I was trying to make the point that
badly, yes, that even dangerous things don't kill everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we were talking about radiation at the time.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, it was hilariously comically wrong.
A little bit far out.
And possibly you called me stupid. when clearly, actually, Ben, sexy name.
Who's the stupid one now?
But dim. So not really a lot of corrections for last week. Or not that I found any for you.
No, no, I don't think so.
No? No. Not that I can be bothered remembering. But I have got the toot bag ready to open. I'm not going to bother calling it a mail bag anymore because it's just all around from bloody Twitter. So these are just, I don't know, maybe you could see if there's any that that have been directed to you and you could tack them on the end. I've got a couple to read, so you've got a
no, I don't think I had any feedback actually last week.
All right. Well, no, maybe that's... maybe that's it was mostly quite negative actually. So, for instance, from friend of the show, former friend of the show, Leighton Duncan, not sure I like the recent trend of shitty dramatic reading at the start of discourse. Scrap it.
I have to admit, I fast forward through the shitty dramatic readings.
Yeah, all right. Good. By all means. But I mean, we're gonna try things out, and sometimes they won't be great, and sometimes I will embrace their crappiness.
Wait till we do barbershop.
Barbershop.
Yeah, Morgan and I will do barbershop at the
beginning. I'm looking forward to that.
Or is that just the bloke standing there going? How was your weekend?
Next one is. It's also to do with the reading at the beginning. This is from David Cole on Twitter, and he says, "Trying to figure out the start of discourse this week." A reading? ? At the Morgan at NZBN?
I think
yes, it was a reading.
Yeah, you figured it out. Well done.
I didn't actually put timestamps on that. I presume that was about the most recent one and not the previous one. Yes, it was a reading. It was reading from a court transcript from an actual real trial. Next feedback is from another friend of the show, Dylan Reeve, which I'm actually really pleased about this one. Thanks to Discourse, I was just sitting in my car at traffic lights when Friday started playing really loud.
Did he start dancing and wondering whether to sit in the front seat or the back
car seat? Dancing. I'm very... Oh, that's good, Ben. I'm very sorry, Dylan. It wasn't my intention
to
trap you.
I was going to say, Dylan's been talking about Friday an awful lot this last week.
He has a great post about his forensic analysis.
Yeah. Yeah, so what Dylan did, Dylan's an Auckland-based television and I guess he's done some film stuff. He's an editor. We actually worked together on our Auckland-winning 48 Hours short film. Uh-huh. he tried to wreck it and I was sufficiently respected that year that he listened to some of my ideas. Never again, of course. And hence, never winning again.
But he discovered that the background green screen of the Friday video...
The background plate.
...was actually a stock photo of Auckland.
Exactly.
At night.
Yeah, exactly.
With a superimposed stock photo of the moon.
Yeah.
But his post about his discovery is wonderful because he talks about having to compare photos side by side and going and buying...
Yeah. I would actually like to take some credit for that,
buying a second
laptop. Post. Because, let's get to that in a second. I would like to take some credit for that post because I said on... No, I would, because he didn't have one. And I said to him on Twitter, I wish you'd make a post for that because I wanted to link you up in the show notes.
I'm sure he was going to blog it anyway.
Well, it took a while. He hadn't. Maybe he was going to. I think it was me.
Your ego is...
Knows no bounds, Ben.
The room.
Knows no bounds. did he make another discovery? Oh, yeah, no, that's right, about the writing. I actually found that writing really annoying and outdated. It actually seemed like kind of late 90s style of kind of false Ludditism. I found it just got in the way of the story.
I think it was amusing. I think it was good.
All right, well, maybe you're old-fashioned. Not saying anything. And the last toot back... Hey, and the toot bag is from friend of the show. Man, David Cole, I'm very sorry I didn't call you a friend of the show. But, I mean, these other people have all either been on the show or have been mentioned, you know, numerous times before. So, I mean, you're probably also a friend of the show. I'm not saying you're not a friend of the show. I'm just saying these other people, you know, are closer friends. You maybe can be a really close friend in future.
And if you want to be an official friend of the show, send $20 to...
20?
A week.
20 doesn't buy a lot of fireworks. This is from Sam. Thanks, 2Degrees Mobile, for the Idios U8150 giveaway via Discourse. It looks like a great phone, and I'm looking forward to using it. Unfortunately, she also tweeted that she was going to have to go and buy a micro SD card. I forgot...
Oh no!
To give her one.
Well, there one didn't come with that phone.
No, one didn't come with the phone. But I mean, that didn't. I mean, I actually after she tweeted about that, I remembered that we'd even spoken about getting her one, and right. I didn't. So maybe I'll like, I don't know. I'm not going to make any promises. Because, I mean, it took 3 months for her to get the phone that she won.
So another 3 months to get the card.
Three? No, it'll take a lot longer to get the card. Because I'll probably have to order it from China. Sam, I'm really pleased that you enjoying it. Actually, she's not. She doesn't say that she's enjoying it. She's looking forward to using properly. It. Yeah. I boiled it in ether.
Good.
So I'd be surprised if it still worked. Oh, no, ether might be all right. It would evaporate cleanly.
Yeah.
Depends on the purity of it, I guess. All right, that's that. Anything else?
No, nothing else, except for the usual closing comments. Tom, let me just, one
more thing before we get to that. If you complained about the reading, you're a fucking crybaby. Okay? There are little things that I do on the show because I enjoy them. All right? There's not much I get out of the show. I put a lot of time into this fucking show, and then to have people say, meh, at this thing that you made for me for no fucking money at all that entertained me and informed me, meh, fuck you. If I knew your IP address, I'd ban you, asshole. I can't remember who it was that said that. Fucking prick.
Someone said meh.
Yeah, he said meh. Get fucked. Meh. That's not even real criticism. Leighton, I'm not talking about banning because he actually engaged me, you know, when we spoke about it. And, you know, he was, you know, okay, I understand that it's subjective. And then I told him that I was probably going to put a 75-minute reading in. Maybe the show started with a 75-minute reading. But people who say meh, fuck off. Don't listen. I don't like you. Cock. But people I do like.
I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say to that.
Fuck meh.
Do we care about listeners?
I care. I actually do care. I care deeply about listeners, and I do care about what they want. But
you tell us that.
I also care about what I want.
As opposed to meh.
Yeah, don't just say meh. Meh. I'm definitely not going to do anything for you. He'll turn out to be a friend of the show.
Not anymore.
I'll probably really regret saying that. But, I mean, listen, criticize it all you like. And, I mean, I can take it, and I will feed it back at you. But meh, come on, use your imagination. I expect more from our listeners because, I mean, I expect that our listeners will be really friggin' amazing people. I mean, for instance, Tom's not a listener. But, and also, actually, let's just use Tom as an example. Next time we have a live show and I say, hey, call in now, you could be on the show as a very special guest.
Yes.
We could make you a star.
You contribute.
You're going to be famous so now, Tom.
I am going to send the link to my mum because she always complains that, you know, I don't tell her what I've been up to.
Oh, no, but I've been swearing quite a bit. So.
Hi, mum.
Does she mind that I've been swearing?
What?
Does she mind that I've been swearing? Oh, she's English. She'll be all cunt this and bugger that.
Everyone's a little bit of a cunt sometimes.
And I'm imagining, does she chain smoke? Does she, like, light the next cigarette on the butt of the previous one?
No.
Does she drink really big beers?
No.
No? It's a baby sham.
With rollers in watching Coronation Street.
Yeah. I think your mum is probably a very special lady because she raised you right. I assume. I don't know anything about. I don't know anything
now he
about.
He can't send the link to his mum. You realise that?
That's not my problem. I keep trying to get my mum to listen, but she's got dial-up.
Right.
And so, like, the 40 megs download is like, it'd take days.
I remember trying to download songs on dial-up, 3 meg songs.
That's no fun at all. Yeah, so Tom, anyway, thank you very much for coming along.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always nice to talk to people who actually have some insight. So, I mean, for instance, I was mainly quite wrong about Foxconn's motivations with giving their workers a raise. Turns out maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely cynical.
I think the workers would say it's definitely a good thing.
Oh, the workers would definitely say it's a good thing. The ones that survive.
Ouch.
As always, listeners, you can check the site for the show notes.
Last word. And you can send us feedback.
No, you won't. Let's change this.
Just tweet us.
Let's change it. Yeah. Tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Yep.
Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. A friend.
Tell somebody at the bus stop.
Yeah. And if you don't like the show, if you're a meh person, tell someone a bit smarter than you about the show. Everyone around you, probably smarter than you. So tell all of them. But don't say that you had anything to do with the show because you're a meh person.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say about you.
But yeah, tweet us up. If you tweet me at NZBen or Morgan at The Morgan or the show.
Discourse, I say NZ. Tweet Discourse NZ.
Yeah, but anyway, if you do any of that, then we'll respond and probably even get Reno.
If you at the Morgan, then it's more likely to happen than if you at NZ Ben.
What?
Yeah. Let's be honest.
No?
Yes.
What about? I religiously reply to all my ads.
Oh, do you? Oh, I don't reply to them, but I produce the show. So this is going completely off the track. Maybe we should start this again. No, I'm not going to do that. If you're really clever, you can send us an MP3. Why do we still say that?
No one would send us an MP3. No one ever has.
No, Mark sent us an MP3.
Oh, yeah, one.
Yeah, one.
MP3 is a bit.
Maybe.
You know,
I've, so 90s. I've had an idea. Yeah. Maybe we can do some kind of sneaky selling our fucking souls to the man. We'll do some kind of. Now, what are the sites that do this?
What?
Where. So there are music sites that do this where like the first people to buy something get a low price, but as it increases in popularity, the price goes up. It's so like the first people to download a song get it for free, and then it's 10 cents, and then it's 50 cents, and then it's a dollar.
Wow.
So I say we can have advertising on the show, not even necessarily advertising, but we can get people to put words into our mouths, and maybe we can find some way of getting them to choose which of us they want to say something. And to start with, it'll be like 10 cents a word.
Yeah.
And they can give us as many words as they want. Maybe 10 cents isn't enough.
No, it's fine. You know, we need a low barrier.
Low barrier to begin with. And it could be about something Toyota in North Shore. Or it can be about your little company. Or it can be you getting us to say something really offensive. If it's not anything illegal. Is there anything that you can say that's legal? Yeah, like, so, for instance, we won't say anything that's suppressed under the courts. We won't say anything that's libelous.
Well, we'll probably say that all the time.
Oh, yeah, we do say allegedly. It, but I cut it.
Allegedly.
Thank you. You're the new lawyer. We need you. We need you around all the time.
I don't know if there's anything you can't say on the radio. Is it? Is nothing that you can't shout fire in a theatre or something? It's like...
I think you probably can, but what we can't say is definitely the libelous and suppressed stuff, and it would be very, very amusing for someone to get us just to say or from the one that has now shamefacedly admitted to having sex with a young girl. Yeah, I don't think... I actually still think that what he says is true was actually true. And he was in bed with a little girl, but I don't think there was actually any sex going on because he was in his bed and he was drunk, and I think she came and got into the bed or something. And it was the bed where...
So hard to know.
Yeah, it's impossible to know. And I said those here. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm going to beep those. God, if I forget to bleep those, I'm in so much shit.
You better bleep them.
I'm going to bleep them. I'm going to even put a mark on the recording. There we go. I definitely won't miss it now. So I really enjoy closing the show and then continuing it.
How are we going to finish this off?
I think we should do it again, and we should do it straight.
The last time when we did the live call-in one, and we were just you were just closing the show, and then there was an earthquake in Christchurch.
Yeah.
You ran for another half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aftershock, should I say. Sorry.
Yeah.
Always the way.
Yeah, what's the latest news from Ken Ring? Silence, mainly, isn't it?
I got an email back from his contact saying after the John Campbell affair, they're not talking to the media.
That's not going to be true at all because his entire business is based around constantly being in the media. So they're going to give it a month for people to forget how wrong he was, and then they'll be back. They'll be back on the little radio stations where he started, and they'll gradually get back. I mean, he wasn't going to be on Campbell again anyway.
No.
Because he's fucking bullshit. And I don't need to bleep that. Well, maybe the fucking bit. As always, you can check the site for the show notes.
Or if you want feedback, just tweet us up at DiscourseNZ.
Or at NZBen.
Or at The Morgan.
Or you could even chuck one at Parsley72, but not about the show because he's got no power. Yeah.
No.
He's got no pull.
You're welcome to tweet me and just say meh.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say meh to him, but if you say meh to me, you're in big trouble. And just, tweet if you have any thoughts, if you have any ideas.
Yes.
Anything you're interested in?
People you'd like us to talk to.
Anything you wanted us to spend more time or less time on? I am completely keen to hear that. Just don't expect that it'll do anything. It might.
Actually, here's a little
taste. I probably will listen.
Here's a little taste of your listeners. Because I said I'm off to China again in a week and a half.
Yeah.
I'm going to be staying at the same hotel I stayed at previously in Songjiang. And I will get...
Oh, that's where you saw Quentin Tarantino and...
Eli Roth. So
right.
I'll be interested to see if they're still there. Because as far as I know, they're still filming.
Oh, shit, really?
What are they filming there?
It was, God, I can't remember his name, but one of the founder members of the Wu-Tang Clan is directing a kung fu movie out there.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see it.
Yes.
Morgan will want something signed by Quentin Tarantino.
My feet. Because that guy, he is such a foot pervert.
Is he?
Yeah. Watch all of his films. Watch, what was the one with the one with the car and Kurt Russell, where he has, a car that you can crash and not die. Watch
it's
some of the stuff in that with feet. Watch
Planet
the stuff
Terror,
in,
but it's the other one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember it's not important what it's called. All of his movies, he's got like foot stuff. Got foot stuff in them. Maybe excluding Reservoir Dogs. From then on, like even Pulp Fiction, look at how much they linger on what was the name in it? Mia something. When they're doing the dancing competition, watch how much time they spend on her feet. And I mean, there's videos of him like sucking toes on the internet and so on. I'm not judging him. If you're going to be into something, sucking, consenting adult women's feet.
That's pretty.
That's pretty fucking great.
Pretty tame.
Stick with that, buddy. Stick with that. Don't try and sexually abuse young youth MPs.
Or their feet.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Yeah. Or their feet. Not any part of them.
Consenting feet.
Yeah. Okay. Consent. Consent is
leave
the important
their
feet thing. So what was that about finishing the show?
I think that's it.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Have a lovely week. Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
Right, we're using that one.
This show is cancelled. Beep.